Hi, welcome to Indiana Weekend with John Strauss. This is a kind of radio magazine show about the interesting places and intriguing people in our part of the state. We're always interested in your thoughts. Drop us a note at indianaweekend@gmail.com with your suggestions and comments. Let us know what's going on where you are. From the Arts Desk, the Muncie Civic Theater has The Wizard of Oz for another week and Chitty Chitty Bang Bang starting August 8th. Anderson Symphony Orchestra presents A Little Night Music with MG5 on Thursday. Also Thursday at Minnetrista, Bela Fleck and Abigail Washburn in the first of this year's Muncie Three Trails Music Series. On Friday in Portland, it's the Jazz Ambassadors of Washington, D.C. in a free concert at Hudson Park Amphitheater presented by Arts Place. Hundreds of motorcycles are expected for a June 27th fundraiser near Muncie to support wounded Indiana veterans. But along with the roar of the bikes, there'll be a roar from the sky, a visit to the fundraiser by a Vietnam-era UH-1 helicopter, the Huey. This is the sound of one of those warbirds as the engine spools up and it takes off. It's one of the Huey choppers so symbolic of our time in Vietnam, since replaced by the Black Hawk helicopter for most of the U.S. military, but still used by many governments. What's different is that this chopper is one of the relatively few Hueys in private hands. We wondered who would buy a war surplus chopper, and that led us to Charlie Walker, an Indianapolis jewelry store owner who talked to us at his hangar in Hamilton County, just north of Indianapolis. It's his helicopter that will be at the Muncie fundraiser. Mr. Walker is head of a group called Indiana Air Search and Rescue. Besides the Big Bird, he has a smaller helicopter, the kind frequently seen in the show MASH. Though he did not serve in the military himself, Mr. Walker is especially interested in helping veterans. He says the helicopters help make a connection.
They bring back memories to these veterans of how these helicopters touched them. Could have been a combat scenario. Could have been they were injured and they were taking them out, taking them back home. Could have been the first sound they heard because they were starved and didn't have any ammunition. And they knew it was coming. It stirs those emotions for those guys. And, you know, I was never in combat. I can't actually understand what that would be like. But I've listened and heard so many stories from these gentlemen about, you know, the role the helicopters played in their lives that you get a sense of exactly how it does feel to them.
And particularly in Vietnam, the helicopter played a major role.
It was the cavalry's first horse, you know, their first horse of mechanized aviation. Being able to bring in supplies and drop off troops and pick up wounded in a small landing area, no runway necessary. It was incredible, you know. That was unbelievable that they could start to do that. And that's why the Huey especially, utility helicopter that can lift 6 to 8 guys, you know, with backpacks and everything, put them into an LZ, pull them back out of an LZ. That's just incredible. They never could do that before in any war.
For people not familiar with the UH-1, talk about the helicopter a little bit.
The UH-1H, or the UH-1, was specifically built and designed through Bell to be a utility helicopter for the military. As we had just mentioned, you know, to being able to insert soldiers in, drop them off, being able to drop off supplies, just an all-around helicopter that can do most anything. One of the most awesome versatility parts of that helicopter is if it gets shot up, if it has problems, it can be repaired in the field. Which today, these modern helicopters that we're using today are very sophisticated, highly sophisticated, and it's hard to repair those in the field. They have to be taken back to a hangar. So I know that's what our military misses the most, dealing with all these mechanics who worked on Hueys. They miss that the most, you know.
What are the feelings you get when you're looking at your helicopter and you're flying it? Describe as you're looking at it. What are you thinking?
I am unbelievably blown away of how blessed I am to get to fly a Huey helicopter. Never being in the military, but having family that served, dad and two brothers, you know, that were in the military. Being at the controls and actually making a machine like that fly is so humbling to me. And knowing what it means to the veterans as well, it merely makes me an instrument, another instrument, you know, and I'm unbelievably blessed to get to do that.
You really enjoy flying.
I do. I love it very much. I love it very much.
Describe what it's like when you are flying. What are you thinking about?
I think that having that control, having that total control over my fate in the air, there's something to that that makes it tick with me. And then when you're lifting other people and realizing that you're responsible for them, that's it's almost mind-boggling. And for some reason, there's people like myself that love that, and that's why they love flying so much. I mean, it's a blessing.
How did you get started in all of this?
Well, you know, my brother John flew in the Marine Corps, and he had some time in Hueys, and then he flew a big helicopter, CH-53. And I know that influenced me. And so did growing up next to Grissom Air Force Base. And, you know, we had gasoline-powered airplanes that we tethered on strings, and we had rockets that flew. I mean, anything that flew, we were crazy about. Every Easter, we'd have a rocket contest in our backyard, all my brothers and I. You know, we'd shoot rockets off, get them caught in trees, try to climb up in the trees and get them out. That's what got everything started with this aviation.
Of course, since we were at an airport just north of Indy, we weren't too surprised to hear an approaching aircraft.
Helicopter in the background.
He's just kind of practicing.
That's
right?
All he's
is
doing.
Is that?
He's with an instructor, and they're practicing on that, on those.
See, so holding it straight and level like that, that's pretty hard?
Not everyone can do it.
Is that right?
That's right. It's one of those walking and rubbing your tummy and chewing gum and tapping your head at the same time.
Is this true? Somebody told me it's like balancing a basketball on top of another basketball.
That's a good one. It's like taking a pencil and putting that on the tip of your finger. So when you fly by your fingertips.
Kidding.
When you're first learning to fly, you choke the chicken. That's, you're holding on to everything really tight.
Yeah.
But after you start getting that balance, that feeling of the CG where it needs to be, you run it by your fingertips. It's just the lightest, most awesome flying.
How long did it take you to learn how to do all this?
Well, I flew fixed wing at first, and that helped. I hovered, I think, after about my sixth hour, which is pretty awesome. You know, I was hovering. And I'll never forget when I soloed. My instructor was from England, and he learned right from Robinson Helicopters in California. And then he came right out here, and we started flying in a Schweitzer 300. And he didn't tell me when he was going to solo me. So we went up to Noblesville and landed in a grass field one morning, because I always flew early in the morning before I went to work. And he said, "Charles, I think you need to go at it. Take it around." If I'd have known he was going to solo me that day, I don't think I would have flown. I mean, I was just, okay, you know, and he shut that door and I was in that thing by myself. And then all of a sudden, that feeling I think I told you about before, that feeling that I have control of my life right now with these hands, it was amazing. And when he jumped in after I went around the pattern twice, he jumped in, we took off to fly back here, and I cried like a baby. He goes, "You don't mind if I take the stick, dude, Charles? I don't get to fly that often." I just the tears just rolled out of my eyes. It was heaven on earth.
Charlie Walker, an Indianapolis jewelry store owner with a passion for flight. He's restored a 1968 Huey helicopter that saw service in Vietnam, and he uses it and another military chopper to create special experiences for veterans. In fact, he's scheduled to be at Benson Motorcycles in Muncie on June 27th for a fundraiser to help wounded veterans. Details at the Benson website.
Indiana Weekend, real radio from just down the road. Look for that name on Facebook and drop us a line. Let us know what you think at indianaweekend@gmail.com.
What's it been like helping these veterans? And talk about a time that you did that and what that was like, maybe over the Memorial Day holiday. I think you're 40 of them.
Flying over to the Mott's Military Museum and doing a flyover for them right as the national anthem finished, and there were so many Vietnam veterans, including one veteran who was in the Hanoi Hilton for 7 years. It's phenomenal, because to have people come up to you and say, "That flyover was unbelievable. You have no idea what emotions just came out of me because of that." You know, a lot of them haven't heard of Huey since they left Vietnam. that was the last thing that took them out of the field, out of the jungle. Hard to put it in words, to be honest with you, but I'll tell you one story. We had a gentleman who did two tours in Vietnam, and his wife and his daughter was with him, and we were downtown displaying. We'd flown in downtown, and I noticed he was walking around the right side, the nose of the helicopter, the left side, but he wasn't getting close enough to touch it. And I just followed him, you know, and I've gotten to the point where I can watch veterans and I see how this helicopter back here affects them. And long story short, I had one of my Vietnam veteran crewmen go up to him, and they walked up to it together. When he put his hand on the side of the Huey, he passed out. And we all watched him drop to his knees and fall over. And we're first responders. He was out cold. So we got him to come to, got him up on his knees. His wife said, I can't understand this. He's never had any nightmares, no problems, you know. We got him back to his feet and he did it again. We had to call the EMTs. So they came and they took him to Ratibush, not far from downtown there. He called me 2 days later, thanked me. We stay in touch. They did all these extensive tests on him, no problem. And the doctor said, this was a psychological phase you went through. You had all that in you for so many years. And when you touched that helicopter, and you know, I have crewmen that can testify to what I just said. When he touched that helicopter, it released. And that is just one story I can tell you that is just phenomenal. It's a healing tool, this helicopter is.
There's something spiritual about it for you.
Completely. I'm a spiritual person anyway. These helicopters have their own spiritual, well, they have their own spirit. They do. And I think it has to do with the men they carried, how they carried them, what they carried them into, and what they carried them out of.
You've seen that in the faces of the people that you've talked with.
I've seen it in the tears. I've seen it in the laughter. I've seen it in many, many ways expressed, you know? It would take hours to explain this.
Talk about Indiana Air Search and Rescue.
I've always had this dream of wanting to either do missionary work. I wanted to help others. And besides us rescuing warbirds and revitalizing these warbirds, bringing them back into use, we have been working on our search and rescue. We've worked hard at becoming first responders through Homeland Security. And we've worked hard at being trained at Project Lifesaver, and we want to continue to grow in Project Lifesaver, and that's an organization. We go up into the helicopter, and if somebody who has dementia and is roaming, and they may have an anklet or a bracelet on, and we're able to go up and detect them with that anklet or bracelet on, and we can find them in a fraction of the time that it would take on the ground. And we can also do that with, you know, with kids that have autism. A lot of autistic kids like to wander. And that's what we're going to specialize here in the state of Indiana. We don't have mountains to go pluck people off of, you know. But we are prepared to triage. And if there was a terrible tornado that ripped through and a lot of people were injured, you know, we're prepared ourselves to be able to land triage and even get people out of there if we need to. So
you have a big crew that helps you. Who are these people and what do they do?
We've got crew from all walks of life. I've got deputy sheriff. I've got people who are laborers. I have people who are professionals. I have people who are retired. You know, we kind of cover the gamut, and these are people that all love aviation. I mean, maybe they never had a chance to be involved in aviation, and this gives them a chance to do that. And then, of course, our veterans.
Where do you find the people to work on the helicopter?
Well, that's very interesting. The website helps that we have, but working out here at the hangar draws people too. And actually, the biggest part has been word of mouth. Someone will tell somebody else, and they'll come in, and they'll see what we're doing here, you know. And so it's nice that we get so many people who are interested that we can have people help, hopefully specialize.
But even though the aircraft is more than 40 years old, you can find people who can work on it.
Exactly. Let me give you a perfect example. Randy Sloan, who's one of my chief mechanics. He's my chief mechanic. Worked on Hueys for over 28 years, you know, and been in the Army, a true professional, somebody that doesn't, you know, shortcut. He's so good because he realizes how important maintenance is, how important not making shortcuts, you know. So now he's retired from the Army, but he's still working. Who does he work for? Lifeline, keeping other pilots safe and people who are sick. I mean, how awesome is that? It's tremendous. That's just another example. You know, another one of my crewmen, Travis. You know, Travis is a Hamilton County deputy sheriff, and he works a lot of hours to take care of his family. And his family is also involved, his wife and kids. Just another perfect example, some of the wonderful people we have.
This aircraft requires a lot of care.
Yes, a lot of maintenance.
What kinds of things do you have to do to it?
Well, you know, I guess I need to say it like this. Believe it or not, when it's maintained properly, it doesn't need a lot of maintenance. This really doesn't, you know, need a lot of maintenance. It was designed to fly if it's maintained properly without having a lot of downtime. And when you maintain them properly, you don't have to work on them constantly. That's a fact. That's what's beautiful about Bell helicopters.
Charlie Walker, an Indianapolis businessman who flies a Huey helicopter from the Vietnam era to honor veterans. More ahead on the people who help him as crew members and the emotional connection he makes with people who stop to see the machine.
This is Indiana Weekend with John Strauss on Indiana Public Radio.
Donations are an important part of this. I mean, people, what happens? People join Air Search and Indiana Air Search?
We have an application they fill out, and if they want to join as far as becoming a crewman, you know, there's vetting that happens. I have to do that. But we can always use help with other things. When we have an event, you know, we can always use help for signing people up and doing that kind of stuff. So there's other things besides just working on helicopters and aircraft. How you become a member is we have you fill out an application. It's $125 to become a member of ISAR. And that $125, you wouldn't believe what we can do with that. That goes a long way for us. And you get a ride on the Huey. I mean, becoming that member gets you a ride on the Huey. Veterans are $100. World War II veterans are free. And, you know, I get soft spots in my heart periodically because my dad was a Korean War veteran. And a lot of times we'll throw Korean veterans on there for free, too. You know, I mean, it's what it's about. But if I do these kind of things out of the kindness of our hearts here, we've got to be sure those donations are coming in. That's just a big factor. I know someday, for as hard as we all work in keeping this ball rolling, I mean, someday we're gonna have somebody who really sees what's going on here, and maybe someday we won't have to worry so much about the donations all the time. There's so many other things I'd like to reach out to, but it takes money, and that's how it works.
It's expensive to run an operation like this.
Yes. The backbone of this organization is wonderful people with beautiful hearts that donate, because I couldn't do this if I didn't have the donations that come in. We're a 501c3. I call it a non-for-poor. We're a non-for-poor, non-for-profit. I can take a nickel and turn it into a dollar. That's how we make this organization work. To keep just this bird behind me alone flying an hour, it's around $2,500.
Why is it so expensive?
A lot of moving parts on a helicopter. All those moving parts, most all of them have time, they're time components, which means they're good for so many hours and they gotta be replaced. That's one reason. This is a jet turbine that powers this helicopter, and it likes fuel. But anyway, it's worth every penny of what we have to scrape up to make this organization work, just because of how precious the Huey is. And, you know,
there are museums in which you might find a static display, you might find an old helicopter, something like that. This is like a living museum in that the exhibit takes off into the air.
That's correct. We are a living museum. We're a living, functioning museum. I've been asked to take on the status as a museum, and I don't know if I'm ready to do that with this organization. I really want to focus on what we have been focusing on. But people can come and see this living, breathing, functioning museum anytime they want, you know. And we encourage people to come in and take a look at what we're doing. And maybe, who knows, they could become a crewman, you know, help us out.
So when one of these vets, particularly the people who served with aircraft like this, when they see it, does it take them back? Do they ever share stories with you about things that they did?
the stories are immense. I think that just the other day I had a Vietnam veteran tell me that when I did the flyover in Columbus, he said to me, he said, you know, Mr. Walker, he said, that was the last sound I heard when I left Vietnam because I was on a ship to get out of there. I was never so happy to get out of that jungle. He said, but I was never so happy to hear that flyover. Just one of millions of people who've approached me about either the sound or just hearing it come from the distance or seeing it, putting their hand on it, as I mentioned.
Well, for some people, it probably meant salvation. It was coming with...
Coming to get them out. I'm getting out of here. One of the toughest stories that has really stuck with me was I flew a gentleman a couple years ago who was tossed up into the Huey for dead. They had him wrapped, and they had tossed him in as a dead soldier. And when he hit the deck, it woke him up. And all he remembered was seeing the shadows of the blades going over the greenhouses on the top. And after I flew him, he got out of the helicopter and came around and waited for the blades to stop for me to get out. And he hugged me and cried and made me cry. And then he told me about that. And just imagine that. He saw the shadows of the blades through those greenhouses, and the next thing he remembered was waking up in the United States, not over in the Philippines or anywhere else. He was stateside. That's how long he was out, recovering. That's a story there. That's amazing.
This affects you, doesn't it?
Oh, it does. It does. I'm so happy I get to help them heal. You know, it's a blessing. We all need healing, don't we? Some way or another. We've all been through things in our lives that we can use healing. I'm just proud to be a part of it.
Take a swig of soda there.
That's the truth.
That's Charlie Walker of Indianapolis, a longtime pilot who bought and refurbished a vintage Vietnam-era Huey helicopter. He flies it to special events and especially goes out of his way to connect with veterans. He and the chopper are flying into Muncie June 27th at a benefit for wounded Indiana soldiers sponsored by Benson Motorcycles. Details are at the company's website, or call me and I'll help you. That's our show for today. I'm John Strauss. Big thanks to our producer, Sean Ashcraft. Glad you could join us this time and hope you'll stay in touch. Drop me a note at indianaweekend@gmail.com if you would like more information or have a suggestion. In the meantime, thanks and have a great week. Until we meet again on the next Indiana Weekend on Indiana Public Radio.
Indiana Weekend with host John Strauss. Our show is engineered at Indiana Public Radio, produced by Sean Ashcraft. Major support for Indiana Weekend comes from Dillman's Furniture of Muncie, serving East Central Indiana with home furnishings from Flex Steel, Bassett, and Simmons Beautyrest. Join us again next week for Indiana Weekend with John Strauss here on Indiana Public Radio.